Yes, we can say Project was one of the big catalysts of the vinyl comeback. Yeah, but the idea was never to be a turntable-only company. In 1991, my aim was having sweet sound and nice sound. So I developed my first amplifiers. Hi-fi is a hobby. Yeah, why to make it boring? Let's make it lively. Yeah, and therefore the colors.
Apesar de nunca ter planeado tornar-se fabricante de giradiscos, o convidado deste episódio do podcast Música e Som viu uma oportunidade após a queda da cortina de ferro quando encontrou uma fábrica na República Checa prestes a fechar. Heinz Lichtinger nasceu na Áustria em 1961. Cedo, a reprodução de música tornou-se um hobby quando comprou as suas primeiras colunas decentes com as gorjetas que ganhava na bomba de combustível da mãe. No final dos anos 80, os fabricantes de giradiscos estavam a desaparecer e a Project nasceu da ambição de oferecer som de alta qualidade ao menor preço possível. O giradiscos de entrada Debut surgiu em 1998 e rapidamente se tornou o modelo mais bem-sucedido da marca, com mais de 500 mil unidades vendidas até hoje.
Este episódio tem o patrocínio de Haja Som, a criar sistemas de música desde 1986. Aconselhamento na seleção dos equipamentos e na otimização dos sistemas. Giradiscos, streamers, amplificadores, colunas e acessórios das melhores marcas. Visite-nos em hajasom.net.
So, Heinz, thank you for being with us today. How are you?
Good, good, thank you. As I said, very hot here. So, okay. But you're probably used to this, yeah?
Yeah. All right. So, I would start by asking you, when did you start working in hi-fi?
Oh, very early. So it's now more than 45 years. So I started with 16 years old, on the petrol station of my mother, selling hi-fi equipment and car radios. Because it was a passion of mine, and my friends were asking me for the best equipment. I was living in a very small town, so I was the guy who was knowing most of high fidelity, because with 16 years I bought my first system, and so all my friends wanted to have also this similar system. Yeah, so I started in the beginning to use the license of my mother from the petrol station to organize hi-fi equipment and car radios, better car radios than the standard one.
Okay. What made you think in a CD dominant era back in the day that making turntables was a good business idea?
It was not a business idea. So you have to understand my history. So in our countryside, people don't have money. Yeah, we are remote, very close to the Czech border. Yeah, but for sure, everybody wanted to have great sound. So my specialty was to make people recommend them products which make great sound for low money. And I realized very fast, you have to specialize on the products. Yeah. So if you want to have for the budget the best, you cannot have everything. I recommended only a very simple system with the turntable, with the speaker, very good speakers and a good amplifier. That's it. So I said, buy the CD player later, buy the cassette machine later when you're having, again, budget. Yeah, because if you put at, $1,000, €1,000, yeah, everything in one, then, you know, the quality is not good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the turntable was always the centerpiece of my first recommended systems, because CD players were just crazy expensive. CDs were expensive, and the turntable in the 80s, where I, in the end of 70s, beginning of 80s, where I started my business, were relatively cheap, yeah, and actually very good, because you got a Thorens 166, you got for something like 3,000 shillings, which was at that time 250 euros, nothing, yeah. Or a Dual 505, yeah, it was just And then it was just so easy to get a very good sound out of it. And then you used a good NAD amplifier and nice Tano speakers, M1s or the Morden & Shorts or the Boston Acoustic A40s, yeah, and good speaker stands. You had absolutely crazy better sound than a complete hi-fi tower from Sony or from Sunny or from Fisher or whatever you want, yeah. So the problem in the end of the 90s, yeah, everything was, my idea was collapsing because all the good turntable brands were not able anymore. They were all plus minus going bankrupt and all their products were getting very expensive. Yeah, or not so good because they tried to save the money. Yeah, so they were not as perfect as before. Yeah, so Torrents introduced the 280, for example, which was for the same price like it 166, and it was just a huge difference in quality. Either the turntables were too expensive or I had no turntable to sell. Mm-hmm. So I made my own. It's very simple. It was a necessity. It was not an idea.
Yeah. So that decision probably made you one of the responsible for the vinyl comeback.
Yes, we can say Project was one of the big catalysts of the vinyl comeback. Yeah, for sure, we haven't been the only one, but I think we had a major part of it, especially in 1991, where nobody was really thinking in hardware. Definitely, nobody was really thinking about. And we have to say that it's now a big success, and you see this on the many, many copies what we have, which are. Some okay, some are very bad. Yeah, but that's life. Yeah, when things are popular, when things are successful, then you have people who want to have part of the cake. Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, the turntables are quite good. Actually, I have one turntable from Project.
Thank you.
I have an Evo, classic Evo.
Oh one. Wow! Yeah, this is a very good one. Yeah, unfortunately, over the years. The classic Evo get very expensive. So the newest version of the classic we decided we cannot do it anymore low cost. So we decided opposite. So let's make it very expensive. Yeah. So now we have our classic reference, yeah, which is even more beautiful, but also very much more expensive. Yeah. But the Evo was a little bit also a reminiscence on the original Torrents turntables with heavy platter and a very nice sub-chassis construction. Yep. So that's a very retro type turntable. And the people who bought it for the original price some years ago, they have now really a bargain, yeah, we can say. Yeah.
But Project doesn't make just turntables nowadays.
The idea was never to be a turntable only company. In 1991, I started with turntable, number one, because I needed a turntable. And number two, there was the possibility that there was this Czech factory from Litovel, which was a Tesla factory, which were only making turntables. And so I was able to make turntables. Yeah. But in all my life, I was selling complete systems. Yeah. And it was clear that after the success of the turntables, I used the money what I earned to produce and design complete ranges of products. So my second big idea was the so-called box design products, because my big aim was always how to make products in Europe for low-cost money and still very good. So the first idea was just to throw away the 44-centimeter box because I understood... as being also distributor for many other brands, that especially the cosmetic and the box of an amplifier cost 60-70% of the price of the product. So why you need, and with new modern digital electronic, I was able to reduce the size of the amplifier box to a miniature size. And so I could make clever amplifiers which sound great. For sure. You have to make always a little bit of compromise, yeah. But my compromise was always in amplifiers regarding the power, because when you're using a digital amplifier, you can get huge power out of it, yeah. But when you use it intelligent and gentle, you can get even sweet sound out of it. But then the power is very reduced. But my aim was having sweet sound and nice sound. So I developed my first amplifiers, and then also my phono stages and my DACs. and all are the same idea, yeah? Having in a small box great sound. And today, again, this idea was copied now a million times from other companies too, yeah? But we still have the biggest range of box design products. And also what is very important for the box design products, they are all upgradable and they're all fitting together. So you can mix and match between the S, DS and RS line. And that's also very rare because I believe that people starting with the system and then they won't continue and make it better and better and buy more. And if the products are not fitting together, then sometimes it doesn't look good.
I was going to ask you about the line product of project. Nowadays it is such a big line that you have.
Yes.
Isn't that a problem?
No, because this is a philosophy, yeah. So okay. This has many reasons why the line is so big, and the number one reason is respect. Having a big line, it's very expensive for me, but I have respect from the people, respect from the different taste in look and sound. So because I'm visiting all the countries direct, and I have been also several times in Portugal, which actually I love very much. It's one of my favorite countries. So it's just beautiful. It's unfortunately now Austrian Airlines doesn't serve them anymore direct because I was every year I was flying to Faro, but it's at the moment very difficult to get there. Oh. I have really nice friends there and I really miss them. So I have to change this again. Yeah. But as I said, I go into the people and then I realized that the people have different demands. Yeah. And I always respect these demands. Yeah. Let's say in Italy, they want to have high gloss black, yeah? And in Scandinavia, they want to have matte black. In Japan, they want to have S-shaped toner. And as long as I can mix this in my quality, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. Also, I realized very soon that there are many, many ways how to make a good there are many, many ways how to make a good turntable, yeah? So we are the only company who is doing several designs of turntable, mass loaded, sub chassis, the stiff plinth turntable, and so on. Yeah. So that's the reason. Then also, so this is number one. Number two, I introduced all the colors, which made also the product range very big, because the colors attract the young people. In the hi-fi, yeah, everything is black and white, yeah. And in 1998, with the debut, I was making a huge revolution that I introduced colors to the hi-fi. Today, even after 30 years, a lot of companies now copy me. Kef has now also a huge range of colored loudspeakers, yeah? But I was the first one who did this, yeah. Because with the colors, you know, it's too boring. Hi-fi is a hobby, yeah? Why to make it boring? Let's make it lively, yeah? And therefore the colors, because we want to attract also people for modern flats and young people, yeah? So that was the colors, yeah? And then the number three reason is that simple. I believe we are in the luxury industry, okay? So our products, nobody needs. When you look in other luxury industries, yeah, they're living from the variety. When you buy an expensive car, you have more options or less options? You have more options.
More.
Yeah. When you have expensive clothes, yeah, you have more options. Yeah. When you're going to IKEA, you have less options, but it's cheap. Yeah. You understand what I mean? So, and I'm also against the monoculture, which comes from America, where you have few products. And these products are basically pushed by huge advertisement to everybody that everybody is consuming the same. McDonald's, Bose, Sonos, all these companies, yeah? But well, they're good companies, no worry.
Yeah.
But I don't think in luxury, yeah? In luxury, I think the people want to have the choice and the hi-fi black and white is just too boring, yeah? And therefore, I decided to make this huge product range which gives the people all the choices, yeah, to go from really entry level to, let's say, mid level in all different kind of variations in turntables, in amplifiers, in speakers, in DACs. You know, I think this is something what the consumer is appreciating. I think dealers don't like me, because for sure, for dealers, it's more work and they have to probably have a little bit more stock. Yeah? But for the consumer, I think it's an ideal world. And I'm working for the consumers. Yeah, I love my dealers, definitely. Yeah, I appreciate my dealers. I appreciate my distributors. But number one is still for me the consumer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can testify for the boxes, especially the amplifier ones, because I also have an RS amp.
Thank you.
The one that has in the preamp. It is valves.
Yes, tubes.
In the power, and the power amp is it's the.
In the power amp, we have also a digital model, a Hypex model. But we use also in the preamplification in the amplifier also a tube input stage.
Okay.
So we have a tube on post. So we have a tube driver on the preamplifier and the tube input receiver also to give the flavor, flavor of tubes and to make a relaxed sound.
I think it's an understated amplifier because it sounds very, very, very good. Yeah.
Yes.
It actually can compete with amplifiers that costs many times the price.
And you can upgrade it because... what also nobody was understanding, or a few people were understanding, that you can buy these amplifiers and we are using switch mode power supplies, which I have a lot of critics. Yeah. But the problem is what nobody understands. In our listening tests, we realized that when you're putting a cheap power supply in the product, it's damaging the sound quite a lot. So it's better to have a switch mode power supply outside of the box. Yeah. And outside, then you have less radiation. And this is one of the magic why the product is sounding so good. But for sure, a linear power supply sounds better. But when you have the money and to make it really high end, then you just buy this with the linear power supply separate. Yeah? And that's the project idea. Starting small.
I probably will. But it's not easy to get our hands on one because the distributor doesn't have it on stock.
No worry. Yeah. We care about. Okay. Yeah. So let me know and we care about.
Okay. Meanwhile, you also acquired Musical Fidelity and brought back some iconic equipment like the A1 and the loudspeakers, the amplifier A1 and the loudspeakers Alias 3-5A. Is there still a place for this particular gear nowadays?
Yes. It's very successful, actually. Yeah. Because people looking for a retro, and honestly, there have been so many great products in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we just use these products. And for example, on the A1, we're just using exactly the same design. It's a fantastic design developed by Tim Paravicini. Yeah? The only difference to the 80s, we have now better components. Yeah, so we have better potentiometer. We can make it more resistible against the heat, which was the negative of the A1 in the 80s. Yeah? Therefore, Anthony Michelson, the owner, was stopping it because he had too high failure rate. But with the modern design, we have zero failure rate, and we can use this fantastic pure Class A sound because that's what we believe is tube sound and pure Class A sound. It's simple the best. Yeah? For sure, on project, I have to make this one or the other compromise because I have certain price targets to reach. On Musical Fidelity, I have the choice, and this is the reason also why I bought it, is that I have much less price limitations. Yeah. So Project is the brand where we want to give the customer for the best money true high fidelity stereo, and Musical Fidelity is the brand we want to give the customer true high-end stereo for the best money. Yeah? So it's a little bit different, and therefore on Musical Fidelity, we have also crazy amplifiers for 20,000 euros. Yeah? We have to say, they are still relatively affordable when you see what big pre-power amplifiers with separate power supplies costing today from many American brands, then Musical Fidelity is still, let's say, reasonable. It's not really reasonable, but let's say it's okay.
Okay. Your wife is also involved in the company and manages another turntable brand.
Not in the company.
I'm sorry.
No. Sorry. She has her own company. She's absolutely independent. Yeah.
It's completely her company. I'm sorry.
Yeah. EAT is completely her company. It's her baby from the beginning. And actually, before we married, she already owned EAT. So it has nothing.
I help for sure.
We discuss a lot and we fight every day what is in our home system. Yeah. And she has a very strong opinion, I would say. Yeah. But we are very respectful and for sure we exchanging ideas. Yeah. But EAT is a brand which is then, let's say, the Rolls-Royce, the Bentley, the super high end category. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Recently, I saw a mini system from Project that comes with a small travel case that you can take it anywhere. Is there an anti Bluetooth speaker statement from you?
Yes. Why you know? Why you know? Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm traveling a lot, yeah, and unfortunately, in most of the even expensive hotel rooms, yeah, if you're lucky, you're getting a Marshall Bluetooth speaker, and that's an okay speaker which makes an okay sound, but not that what is enough for me because I want to have true stereo. So I started to design my own system, which was small enough that it fits in my suitcase, that I can travel it in everywhere worldwide. Yeah. So I showed this system to friends because I use this system also in my wine cellar and everywhere where I am around, I have this system in my office. Yeah. And the system sounds simple magic because it's my small little amplifier, the Stereobox S3, and then the signed speakers, which is just as big that they are fitting in the suitcase, but still make some reasonable bass. Let's say in a 50 square meter hotel room, just perfect, yeah? And I have a true stereo. So my friend said, please, you have to bring this to the market. It's just for hi-fi connoisseurs, it's just the perfect solution. And actually, it's also perfect for everybody who has a demand for a little small system in a small room, yeah, somewhere in his area, can be in his holiday house, or even I used it on boats. Yeah, I took it with me, yeah, because we book yearly a boat. We rent a boat for 1 week. Yeah, unfortunately, not yet in Portugal because water and sailing probably for me as there is too dangerous. So we go to Greece. Yeah, which I also love very much. I love very much small countries, and I have it always with me, and it makes unbelievable sound. And I have good fun when the other boat people try to make big sound with their integrated cheap system. Yeah, my system is playing than better. No, this is a joke. No, it's about the stereo feeling and that I can play classic and then I can play jazz. Yeah, I can play natural music. Yeah, I can play stereo. That's all.
Do you already have some feedback from the sales? Is it selling okay?
It's selling very good. And actually, I have even some people from the industry purchased some systems, even on the show in Munich. Yes, they come by the booth and say, I have to have that. That's fantastic.
That's great. How do you come to develop the special turntables that you have? I was thinking about the Metallica one, for instance.
The story is.
You work with the band to develop
coming to us and ask us. It's not that we coming to the bands; they coming to us.
Okay.
We started with the Beatles, and we have been a very successful cooperation with the Beatles. And then one band after one band is coming, and actually we have a lineup of products which we are starting to produce. So now we have the AC/DC, and very soon there is coming. Am I allowed to say it already? The Ringo Starr.
Okay.
We call it Artist Collection. Yeah, and I think we are the only company in the world who have first the understanding of what is typical for the music and the artists, also are able to, with the European production, to be so individual that you can make such products. Yeah, that's the advantage. Yeah, that we are basically the only company who is really having a production in Europe. Yeah, most of the audio companies today are all Far East and they have no production at all. They are just designers.
So you produce everything. Everything in Europe.
I would say 95%.
95%, okay.
So some speakers we have to produce in Far East because of the price point, some box design, some power supplies, but it's 95% is everything. Turntables 100% and electronic, I would say 95%.
And you intend to keep it that way?
Let's see how the customer is valuing this. Yeah, the problem is, customers are two-headed. On one side, they think everything has to be green and global, open. Yeah, everything has to be fair. But on the other hand, they buy on Amazon and on Timu and Shine and so. Yeah, so for sure. And then, also some European companies were going to Far East and starting, especially in turntables, to discount the turntables very much because they buy it very cheap. Yeah, but we believe our quality is still better, and we believe that there is an additional value for a customer to have the product made in Europe. But in the end of the day, it's in the hand of the customer if we could survive. Yeah, we will try to do everything to survive. We are actually the only private-owned company in that size in Europe, which makes us very independent and happy. So all the decisions can be still done by myself. Therefore, you will not see any, let's say, commercial product which make fast money, like plastic speakers, like mono speakers, like turntables with integrated speakers, like DJ turntables. All this I don't do because I don't need to make now such more turnover. I just offer different things. So, for example, we offer a 25 years spare part warranty, which doesn't mean that we make the products warranty free of charge. We do this within 3 years. But within 25 years, we warrant that we can repair the product, that we have the spare part. And if we don't have the spare part, the customer gets the product for the a new product for the spare part price. Yeah, nobody can do this because nobody has a production.
Yes,
and I hope, as I said, I hope that the European consumer and the American consumer will appreciate this. For sure, they have to make this. They have to pay more. Yeah. So, for example, you see this in our product range. We have CD Box E, which is about 200-250 euros, which is made in China, and then we have the similar product. For sure, a little bit better, a little bit better drive, a little bit better mechanic, a little bit better sound, but made in Europe, it's 450. So it's 70% more expensive. Yeah, and we have to say, we give it to the decision to more and more to the consumer. Yeah, we believe that when the consumer knows it and the dealer is explaining this, then I think most of the people buy the made in Europe product because it's better. And it's more value, in my opinion. And I think it's still very cheap that we can make a CD player for 450 in Europe, that we still can make a turntable for 300 euros in Europe.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's still very, very amazing. And I will, as long I have the power, I will maintain this strategy.
Okay. So is there any new product on the line in the next that you can talk about it?
Talking about yes and no. I mean, my distributors and dealers hate me that I have too much ideas. Yeah, but definitely we have some product ideas. Yeah, some of them we have shown already in Munich, which is coming by end of the year. So we have a new models for the RPM line, the RPM line is our best line. So we make it even more, let's say, high-end, a little bit more expensive, but also more high-end, because the drop shape form, the separate motor has definitely advantage to the classical design of turntables, which are rectangulars, where the motors are including on the chassis. Also the outboard drive without the sub chassis, the sub platter has some technical advantages. Yeah, so these are coming, and then always when products are getting very expensive. So for example, the extension line over the years was getting now very expensive because we realized that certain parts like aluminium and MDF and steel and everything was getting very expensive. And when you see extensions, they offer a lot of technical finesse for the price, like including clamps, including magnetic feeds, including the magnets which elevate the platter, heavy flanges which are done out of heavy aluminium. So it's a lot of material what's going in the extension. Yeah. So over the time, the extension line was getting pretty expensive, not really expensive in comparison to the true high-end turntable, which the extension line are true high-end turntables. Yeah. So that means I tried to simplify the extension line. So I put out a lot of things which make a lot of money. So I put out the magnetic feeds. I gave away this super high-end platter, which is 5 to 6 kilos, yeah, which alone costs 200-300 euros by production. Yeah. I mean, you know, in the industry, we have to tell the customer always a little bit the truth. When a part costs 500-600 euros, yeah.
Yeah. What is the most costly part in a turntable?
Platter.
The platter?
Yes. If you do
even costlier than the tone arm?
This depends. When you see the tone arm as a complete part, yes, the tone arm will be more expensive. Yeah, but when you put the tone arm apart in different parts, then the platter is one single part. So if you say tone arm and turntable, yeah, one is a tone arm, one. So okay. When you see that the three major parts is cartridge, tone arm, and turntable, yeah. Then the platter is part of a major part, yeah, but it's the most expensive part of the major part. But as I said, yeah, you know, let's say for example a crazy platter like on ERT, yeah, mm-hmm. Only the production price of such a platter is over 1,000 euros. Yeah, there is no margin. We don't talk about dealer margin and VAT and everybody has to answer. So it's only the production price and. Because this is the reason why people using cheap platters. We using also glass platters. So when you, because it's much cheaper, yeah. So, yeah. But when you're going in real aluminium platters, they are on top damped, yeah, or they have vinyl on top special treatments. Then it's really getting very expensive, yeah. So the new extension line, the X9B, 10B, 12B, takes some of the finesse out, but with that. We can lower the price dramatically and still can offer a huge heavy turntable. We use instead of the huge metal platter, we use Delrine, which is also respected. Yeah, most of even you see Delrine in turntables for 3,000, 5,000 euros, and now you see this in project for 2,000 euros. I think it's still a good material. Acryl platter we using lower. We using in the price range of 1,000 to 1,500 max. Yeah. And what we usually use heavy platters. We try to have at least 700-800 grams, even in the lower cost platter, where you see the Far East turntables, they have maximum 400 grams. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. They make it heavier with a thick rubber mat, yeah? But we throw away the thick rubber mats already in the 80s from Torrens 166 because we realized it's over-damping the sound, yeah? And we modified the 166 and used instead of the rubber mat, we used felt mats, yeah? Which made then a much more dynamic sound image, yeah? So I'm not a big fan of this... ringing metal platters with damping rubber mats. Yeah, I rather have a heavy, a very heavy platter, which is inert itself and doesn't ring itself. Therefore, we have the DPE under the platter and not on top of the platter. But that's detailed, so I can talk some hours about some.
Yeah, sure, sure. You also have an entire new range of tone arms.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So. Also, these are things which
Do you think that the clients really can improve the sound of their turntable with?
Absolutely.
With the upgrade of upgrading the tone arm?
Yes, for sure. Tone arms are as important as the cartridge. Yeah? And unfortunately, you see now very shaggy tone arm designs, with very bad bearings and a lot of tolerances. Yeah, and then you see simple wrong designs. For example, you see the revival of detachable head shells. Yeah? We are not a big fan of detachable head shells because it's physically not correct, because you should reduce the, on the end of the tone arm, you should reduce the mass and not add the mass because you're getting a tongle effect. Also, it has something to do with the compliance of the cartridge. You want to have the correct resonance frequency. Yeah? So using cartridges with heavy tone arm with detachable head shell, it's not a good idea. You can even damage your system when you have the wrong resonance frequency. Yeah? The detachable head shell and S-shaped arms are coming from the time where you used moving coil cartridges and with low compliance. Yeah. So we have also the detachable head shell tone arms, but more in the high end where we can make the connection between the tone arm tube and the head shell very precise. Yeah, when you buy a $300 turntable with a detachable head shell, it's a very shaggy connection. So a one-piece tone arm is the much better solution in this price range. Yeah? Also because it's better for your moving magnet cartridge, which is high compliance and needs a tone arm which is low mass. Yeah, so it's for me, as I started in the 80s, this was standard that somebody buys the turntable from brand A and the tone arm from brand B. Somehow this was forgotten. Yeah? Many things which for me in the 80s was somehow clear were forgotten. Yeah? And so I was thinking to bring back different tone arms that gives the customer the allowance to have different sounds, because an S-shaped arm with aluminium tube sounds different than a carbon arm. It's a little bit individual. So a carbon arm will always sound a little bit faster, a little bit, more open, more. Some people will say maybe some a little bit more thin can be from the negative side. And an S-shaped arm will have a little bit more body, but in my opinion is a little bit slower. Yeah. So depends on your cartridge. Yeah? If you are an S-blue lover, for example, from Autophone, you will have to buy an S-shaped arm with detachable head shell because it's not out of fitting. Yeah. So, sure. High-end audio is a hobby. And it gives you the tools. We have all these upgrades. We have all these fantastic SSORs. We have all these different tone arms. Yeah, we have all these different platters. We have all the different mats. Yeah, what is better? We have all the different cables. Yeah, therefore every turntable has not fixed cable. They have RC or XLR. It's a hobby. Yeah, and if you fall in love, with having a turntable, you just want to have more and you want to improve your system, like you. When you find a good wine, then you want to have more, yeah.
Sure.
So the only wine ever in my life, where I downgraded in price was Portugal. So I was always getting more expensive in my wine experience. But then I was 5 years ago, I was in Porto, and then I was going to the Minho area, and then I'm falling in love with the Vinho Verde. So I buy now.
You did. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a very particular kind of wine.
So it's a very tiny winery. It's called Pedro. I buy every year, I buy a complete pallet because it's my summer wine. It's just the best. Okay. And I'm very good friend also with Dirk Nieport, who has one of the best port wine producers.
Yes, he is a very good producer.
Yes. A good his friend. Wines are very,
his wines are very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Heinz, we are finishing, and I'd like to ask you, what is the music, the album, the artist that you doesn't get out of your mind, out of your head nowadays?
It's always different.
Yeah.
It's always different.
Lately.
Lately, today I'm completely Puccini because I was listening yesterday the whole evening to Manon Lescaut. Yeah. And then yesterday I was using my whole afternoon in checking my Puccini collection. So I have at least from every opera 20 to 30 different versions. So especially Tosca and La Boheme, yeah, I think, but also Turandot and then I'm listening to a lot of classical music for sure. I love Bruckner, I love Wagner, I love for sure all the famous Austrian related musician, because people think Mozart is an Austrian, but Mozart is not Austrian. Mozart is from Salzburg, and at that time Salzburg was not part of Austria, and Beethoven is also not from Austria. But anyway, listen. No, and then for sure, I was just listening on Sunday in car. I was listening a fantastic Miles Davis album, with Cannonball Alley. I listened to pop music for sure. I love. I have a great selection of pop and rock. I love for sure more the symphony style of rock, yeah, which is Pink Floyd and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and such stuff, yeah. But can be also good hard rock, yeah, because why not, yeah? So I'm very universal, and it's very funny. In my home, I have a multi-room system, but my type of multi-room system is not that what other people understanding, that you have invisible speaker everywhere, which is connected by Wi-Fi. No, my multi-room system means in every room there's a different system, and in every room there's a system. Yeah, that's my type of multi-room.
Okay, so Heinz, it was a really, really great pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. Next time you come to Portugal, please give us a call.
Definitely.
Okay,
thank you for reaching out. Yeah, and it's very much appreciated. And as I said, yeah, hope we can be in contact. Yeah, and let your guys know about your power supplies. Yeah.
All right. We'll do that.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye bye.